Beloved congregation, I don't know how you travel, but the way if I have to fly somewhere, I go through security and obviously get my ticket, and I repeatedly consult my ticket for the proper gate number. And then I look on the screens and I look at all the destinations and make sure that I'm heading to the right gate, so that ultimately I can go to the right place. I do it repeatedly. There could be a screen 10 meters back and another one, and I look there, and then I look at the screen at the gate to make sure it says that the destination I'm going to. It's very important to be on time and to be going to the right place. Or perhaps you've had it if you drive or are a new driver, that you are going somewhere and maybe you don't have a GPS and you long to see a street marker. What is a street name? And it can be very frustrating if you don't see a well-placed street sign, because you continue on and you hope you'll see something, and when you finally do, it's the wrong sign. You've gotten lost and turned around. You'll probably be late, if arrive at all. Destinations. We're all going somewhere. Whether in our lives literally to different places and gatherings, to trips, but also at the end of a year. The last service on the Lord's Day for 2018. Spiritually, where are we going? And it's really a simple question to take stock and consider what our destiny is. Not what others may think it to be about us. Not what we hope it will be, possibly, maybe someday. But what is it? Now. We've heard it in different evangelistic programs. The question asked as a starter. But if God were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And it's a little trite, it's a little simplistic, but it does give pause to consider, where are you going? Where am I going? And that's also what the end of Matthew 7 confronts us with as well. There's a few series of two. We have the two gates or the two roads. We have the two trees. They're the true two builders. Really, all of them have in common the reality of finality. And what will that finality, that ultimate end, show our lives to have been? A life of good appearance, having the semblance of a good building, but missing the solid foundation. A life of seeming to bring forth apparent good fruit, but not having the true source of life, being a living tree. And in our passage, a life with the multitudes. We think because it's so popular, must be the right way. Or life, by the grace of God, that is a true following of Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, the narrow way. The life of real godliness, of real religion. So we're considering this afternoon two final destinies. First of all, distinct entry. Secondly, comparative company. And thirdly, ultimate experience. And the question I would just leave resonating with you is, where are you going? Where am I going? So firstly, distinct entry. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. So there's a distinct entry onto the way. And the comparison is that between a wide entry and a straight or narrow entry. And I have it all the time, just with my stature, that many people comment on how I duck through doorways, even if I don't necessarily have to. And that's something of the impression that people have here as well, that it's a straight, it's a narrow fit. Not many people can squeeze through. And this means that there is a distinct, that people know when they have entered into the way that leads to life. It's not left up in the air. It's not a big question mark. Have we gone in or are we still outside? There is a definite entry point. And the first thing we need to say about this is the contrast between the narrow, straight gate and the broad, wide gate. Everybody, by nature, is on the way of the wide gate. It is because of our sin. It is because of our depravity. It is because in Adam's fall, we all have sinned. Everybody's included, by nature, in the broad way that leads to destruction. Because everyone at heart is sinful. You and I are sinful. Children, you are sinful. You're on the broad way. Baptism, a Christian upbringing, doesn't exempt you from being on the broad way. We all have gone astray. Each of us has turned everyone to his own way. This is the sad reality of the human condition. Apart from God's intervention, this broad way would be inclusive of every single descendant of Adam. Deserving to perish. So what is the distinct entry of those who are brought to the narrow way? Who have been brought through the straight gate? Well, the first is conversion. They who are through this straight gate have had a revolution in all their purposes and plans for life, and a surrender of all that was naturally dear to them as a result of their sin. They have been changed decisively. They have been changed thoroughly. Conversion being a turn, a complete turn from one direction to another. This is a distinct entry. Things don't just continue as they always have been. But there has been a drastic change. Something that is unmistakable. Something that is thoroughly pervasive throughout all of one's life. Something whose changes are seen definitively. This is the call to conversion. The call to radical change in direction. And this is one of the ways that we are given light to answer the question, where are you going? Have you been converted? Have you been brought off your natural course, your natural pathway of sin, into the way of Christ, the service of God, the following of that which is good? And this is, secondly, the way of repentance and faith. The way of repentance and faith is the way of entry. And here again, it is not taking control of one's life, but it's releasing control. It's casting oneself entirely upon God for dealing with sins we have committed, and for serving Christ. Straight gate, the narrow gate, is the gate that brings an individual into saving fellowship, saving bond with Christ, of being acquainted with Him, of delighting in Him, of serving Him. Is that what your life shows? That you are going somewhere where you will be able to enjoy and delight in the Savior eternally as you long to delight in Him now and here? Or does the shape of your life now seem to show that you value relatively little true fellowship, true acquaintance with Christ Himself? So it's the way of conversion, the way of repentance and faith. It's the way of regeneration, being made new, being born again. It is not something where we take relics of the old with us. But it is something where all becomes new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You don't see in this distinct entry, oh, that I could keep this and that I could keep that. From the old, from the broad, from the wide gate. But it's, oh, what a change. What a drastic change the Lord works. So this is a distinct entry. Somebody will know when they have passed from death to life, from the broad, wide gate to the narrow. And it's so distinct, dear ones, because it is so focused on God. That's the revolution. That's the change. Is away from myself, away from my desires for friendships, for success, for whatever it could be. Measuring up to people's expectations. And it's God. What He has done. How He has converted. How He gives faith and repentance. How He gives regeneration. How He gives the bond we need with Christ. Beloved, have you entered through the narrow way? Your parents can't go with you through this way. Your office bearers can't go with you through this way. God will deal with you. And God will bring you and me in the uniqueness of our beings as He knows us to be. In the right way. The straight way. Just two applications of this first point. The first is that we can fall into the temptation of making this distinct way of entry too specialized, too distinct. As if we need something like a vision or something like a special revelation for ourselves. Let us not set higher standards than the Word of God and make this straight way even more narrow. We're prone to want to make it similar to the way we've been led or to the way other people we respect have been led. But if it serves to keep us out, how dangerous it can be. Let's not make it so narrow that only a few and only a certain people. Yes, it's straight. Yes, it's confined, but oh, God has provided abundantly for His people to enter therein. He has converted sinners. He still does today. He regenerates sinners, and He still does today. He gives repentance and faith, and He still does today. Oh, enter distinctly. But then the other thing is, make sure you enter. Make sure you enter. And when anybody enters, it will be the work of God. Will be the work of God. By nature, all of us will be on the wide way through the wide, broad gate. It's the way that's in accord with our flesh and our desires of sin. But oh, make sure to press in, to strive, as we read in Luke 13:24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. It's the work of God, but oh, how God uses and God blesses the means He has given us. So there is distinct entry. But secondly, there's comparative company. We have the comparison after entry into the way of life. We have the many that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, compared to the few there be that find it. And this can help deal with some uncertainties and some objections. The comparative company, the many. Many think it will turn out okay for them in the end. Have you ever talked to somebody? Don't take it so seriously. It'll all be okay in the end. I'm not as bad as other people are. Don't be so serious. Don't be so rigid. Well, dear ones, here we have false thinking. Here we have delusion of Satan. Because it's not in the number of people that guarantees safety. It's not in being with the masses or being with your friends that it will all turn out well in the end. It's in being where God would have us to be. Don't think because many of your friends, or don't think because many of your family members remain unsaved, that you can remain unsaved. It's a lie of the devil. There's never any excuse to remain unbelieving and unrepentant. Even if numbers and numbers of people refuse to bend the knee. But then they could say, the easy way. This is the easy way. Why so many people want to take it? Because you don't have the pressures of religion. You don't have the conscience that seems to always trouble a person. It can be the easy way. A way of being able to do what you would like on the Lord's Day and to be able to live life as one longs to live it. It's an easy way. Look at all the troubles that the people of God endure. Look at all the internal conflict of their motivations and why they do certain things and look at the pressure they're put under. Oh, I just want to be able to breathe easy. Be able to live my life. Children, teenagers, is that maybe what you think? To be able to have an easy life and put away this religion. But we have to think that really it's not that easy. As a matter of fact, it's very hard work to put away and to put off the warnings of God's word. The stirrings of one's own conscience. And especially the fact that we are going somewhere. Every single end of the year means we have grown older this year. And what will it be to come to an end? Yes, we may be able to put it off for some time. Yes, we may be able to try to rid our minds of it. But dear ones, God made us. And He has not left Himself without a witness. It's not easy. As a matter of fact, it's very hard. It may look easy, but it's impossible. It's not about ease, but it's about truth. To live a life in line with and in tune with and according to the truth is what you and I need. It's the only thing that will satisfy. Not ease, not fitting in, but truth. And what is truth? But it's to be in the company of God in Christ, where the blessing is to be found. It's to be in fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. He is the one who has led the way. For He walked the winepress alone. He didn't live for ease. He didn't live for popularity. But He lived for truth. And the truth prevailed. But then someone else can say, Why is the law so binding? Can't we be on the broad way and get rid of all these requirements, all these restrictions, all this duty? In the Sermon on the Mount, as Matthew 7 is the last part of it, we have Christ continually turning upside down the apparent righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Oh, to fit in and to be molded like a certain teacher. A certain rabbi would bring people under their influence and under their instruction and seek to lead them in a certain way. And they would be viewed based on how many followers they would have. What is Jesus here doing? Jesus here is declaring that few would find righteousness in Him. Many would try to find righteousness in themselves or in a certain way of life or in a certain rabbi, a certain master. But real righteousness, real obedience is found in one place only. In Christ Himself. Christ turns every attempt of works righteousness upside down. And He leads ultimately those on the narrow way, those few, to find their righteousness that will make them accepted before God in Him. It's a stripping. We don't like to be exposed as not having what is necessary, but oh, to be clothed again in that perfect obedience, that perfect suffering of Christ. So that's the comparative company. And one application is that in this company, it's the fellowship with Jesus Christ that far outweighs all the apparent loneliness that one may experience. It may seem so good to be on that broad way with so many people, but oh, sweet fellowship with Christ on the narrow way. Denying ourselves, taking up our cross, following Him. That more than makes up for the loss of all the company of those on the Broadway. Is that where you're going? On the narrow way, with other believers, finding precious fellowship with Christ. Your food and drink, your delight. Let's sing before we look at the ultimate experience. So where are you going at the end of 2018? Have you entered in through the distinct way? Are you in the proper company, following Christ, communing with Christ, delighting in Christ? And lastly, what is the ultimate experience that you will receive? We have the drastic difference between the destiny of those who go in through the wide gate along with great company. It leads to destruction. And then the opposite is through the narrow gate and the narrow way that leads to life. And these are two summary words of the experiences, the ultimate experience. First is that of destruction. What will it be to endure destruction? We have very little conception of it now because we have so many good gifts given to us. But destruction. Is that where you want to go? Is that where you are going? Destruction. To even say the word is a solemn action. Destruction. That God will be against every single person experiencing destruction. That God will have His holy character completely contrary to the individual experiencing destruction. Destruction. To be under the wrath of God forever. Destruction, to have a conscience as a worm that continually will be gnawing, giving no rest, taking no breaks. All the benefits, all the calls to repentance, all the instruction about the narrow way, all the prayers that were offered up, all the Christian education perhaps, or church education. Destruction. Darkness. To be in outer darkness. To be under the wrath of God, outside of the favorable presence of God, yet the presence of God really there in judgment. Destruction. What an experience this would be. And it could only be eternal. It's not annihilationism where the soul will be consumed, but it will be the eternal wrath of God. Yes, many can enjoy their lives now, their short space of 80, 90 perhaps years, 100 perhaps years, but to have an eternity of torment, an eternity of doom and gloom. What a steep price to pay. Destruction. And this is the ultimate experience of being outside the favor of God. Is being liable to and being under His wrath. And why do I say this? To scare you? No. But to bring reality to you. If you're an unbeliever, this is your destination right now. Destruction. Sometimes we need to be shaken to reality that we're on the wrong way. I pray that that word destruction would shake you to reality. If you are apart from Christ, that the only place fit for you is destruction. But then the opposite experience, life. It's a simple word, life. A very basic word in the Hebrew Old Testament and in the Greek New Testament, life. This is what we were made for. This is what God held out before man and woman at the beginning, life. eternal life upon obedience. Life with God. Life in fellowship. Life more abundantly. Oh, this is the ultimate experience of being what we were made to be before God. Not just stewarding for a time the gifts that we have and getting by in this life, but coming to the fullness and coming to the maturity and coming to the appreciation of all that God is and all that He has done. Life. Who would not want life? Who would not want the ultimate and most glorious experience of life? Our lives here are but trails of sorrow and hardship. We think we live, but how small our thoughts of life really are, because we live in a sin-tainted world as sinners around sinners. And we can have so many times of joy here, and we want to prolong them and we want to spread them. But oh, how far short they still will fall compared to life eternally with God. Which leads to life. Oh, to live. To be truly alive in Christ. To have the Spirit of life welling up within as the fountain of life. Is this not the place you would want to go? Life. Well, how does this experience come? Let me just say two things. The first is that this experience can be tasted in advance. A foretaste. Life. In Christ by the Holy Spirit. Is given, is the present possession of every believer. Yes, you have it with much sin. And you have it with the bitterness of partial experience. Distance still separates. But dear believer, you know something of what it is to have life. Oh, you wish it would stay. You wish it wouldn't be so up and down. But you know of that life. You long that it would increase and that it would be more steady. But you can say, I've tasted. I've drunk of the living water. But then, this life will be fully realized in the fullness of the Spirit with perfected bodies and souls hereafter. Everything then will be worth it. Everything then. What is life but to praise and glorify God? What is life but to serve God spontaneously and joyfully and willingly? That's life. What is life but to enjoy fellowship, perfect harmony with others? That is life. Dear ones, I simply set before you the question. Is your journey of life here below going to the destination of life eternal? Then, beloved, whatever you may come upon in this life, whatever has happened in 2018, whatever will happen in 2019, will all serve that ultimate destination, life everlasting. But if not, if you can live, if you can have some ease, if you can enjoy your wealth and your prosperity, but if you have not received that true life in Christ, this life, will pass? And what will be the outcome, the destiny? Oh, that word, destruction. That we would take heed before it is too late. Flee the wrath to come to find life. Amen. Let's pray. Grant us, O Lord, the ultimate experience of life by faith in Christ now, eternally glorified hereafter. Make clear to us all where we are going this very moment. Lord, no person can bring anyone else into this life. Thou must do it. But we thank thee for the gift of thy Spirit, who delights to make people alive, so that the second death has no power over them, but they will live forever in the presence of God and of the holy angels, of all the glorified saints. Give us time to pause and consider this night, and tomorrow night as well, that we would not be going the wrong way to the wrong destination, that we would have it certain that we have entered in, that we have walked with the few, and that life will be the outcome. Bless thy word, we pray. Forgive our sins, in Jesus' name, amen.